The Dublin International Film Festival runs from next Wednesday, the 26th of February, through until March the 8th. And among the documentaries being shown at the festival is Street Leagues, the story of the Irish Homeless Street Leagues, an organisation founded in 2004 that uses the power of sport to transform the lives of people who have found themselves affected by social exclusion. The new film follows the men and women of the Irish football teams as they make their way to the Homeless World Cup in Norway in 2017. And among the contributors to the film is Colin Farrell, a longtime supporter of the Homeless Street Leagues and an ambassador to the Homeless World Cup.
And there's just an incredible sense of community, an incredible sense of fun. But the athletes, the footballers and the men and women of the Homeless World Cup have dealt with the things that we've all dealt with in some measures, greater or lesser, in really extreme ways, you know, and a lot of them have been homeless, as I said, for years. A lot of them have dealt with drug addiction and alcoholism, have come from broken homes, have come from abusive relationships. But this is a time for them to be at the centre of a world that is completely inclusive and a world that is designed for them to step forward and be the best version of themselves they can be, even if it is just in a moment.
Colin Farrell there in the documentary film Street Leagues, and with me in studio this evening is the director of that film, Daniel Holmes, and the goalkeeper for the Irish football team that went to Norway in 2017, and himself one of the stars of the film, Philip Doyle. Daniel, who came to you with the idea of telling the story of the, because it's an incredible set of stories, in fact, yeah, that you're telling here. Were you aware of the Street Leagues before you made the film at all?
No, not at all. Matthew Toman of Bankhouse Productions came to me with the idea. He had been approached by Carly Hamilton, and immediately once I was there and kind of seeing what was taking place, I was just like, we have to find a way to make this, because at that point it was a self-funded project and every stage was kind of just with the goal to get to the next stage, and at that point we weren't even sure if we were gonna have the money to go ahead with it, but we were just like, whatever needs to be done, we need to make this happen, because it was just such a special project.
Yeah, and it coincided perfectly with that 2017 World Cup in Norway, which must have been, even to be on the team, to know that you were going to be on the team for that, Philip, must have been an incredible honour.
Terrific honour to play for your country, first of all, as you said, and before you ever come back from your background, to push through onto the team and to get as far as we got, you know, it was absolutely tremendous.
Yeah, and I don't want to spoil it too much on people to say how far you did get. Yeah. Both yourself and the women's team, both teams did incredibly well, and there were certain things that come out towards the end of the film that really, you're kind of rooting for the because you're watching games. You're kind of watching the highlights of the games is what Daniel has done with it. But maybe tell me a little bit about of your own story, if you don't mind, Phil.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, where were you before Street Leagues? Where was your life at?
My life was at kind of a dead end, you know. Life wasn't, it wasn't life itself. It was a dark place. But when I decided to pack it all in and pack up my drinking and I decided to go away and get help. I closed myself away from the world and I decided now it's my time, you know. So I went away and I got the help I needed. I moved to Dublin then, to a transition house in Dublin. And from there, I met a good few guys and they all went to the street soccer training in Pier Street. And so I joined them.
Yeah, where are you from? I'm trying to place the accent.
I'm from Kildare, all the way from Kildare.
From Kildare, so you took the big journey all the way up to Dublin.
I did, and you know, it's a wonderful city, I must say. Yeah,
but I think, if you don't mind telling me a little bit more about that, you know, I think the death of your father that was a big moment in terms of the difficulties in your life?
Yeah, the death of my father was a massive...
Were you young at that point?
No, he's only gone about, he's 3 years now.
Right.
You know, just before I went into treatment. And I think it was 6 weeks after he passed, I decided, you know, it's time. And then as I went and I came through treatment, you know, and, you know, I prayed to my father a lot and the power of him, I knew the power of him be with me, you know, so that kind of carried me through what I was going through. And then when I came back and got out, I decided back to Dublin, I said I couldn't go back where I lived. I needed that fresh start. Yeah. So Dublin gave me what I needed.
You needed to get out of the circle that you were in. You needed for to life, create a new situation for yourself. And what role had football played in your, in your childhood and in your early life?
Yeah, in my early hood, it was just a ball, and it was just, you were the goalkeeper and you would stop whatever you could stop. And
you were always a goalkeeper?
Always a goalkeeper. I played outfield for a few years, but, you know, I belonged in behind the sticks where I could command the back line and I could tell them where to be at, you know, because I can see the game from the full point of view where I'm standing. So, yeah, I liked that part of it. I liked that part of controlling and making sure they were listening to the plans that we had.
I'm not particularly a sports, I'm certainly not a footballer, but what always strikes me about the goalkeeper, the thing that I might find difficult about that, I think, is you're standing there maybe for ages, okay, you're shouting at the guys in front of you, do this, do that, but it's more so than maybe any other position on the field, it is the split second when the ball's coming towards you. There's no point in you shouting at the fella, move out there, and you've missed the ball. The concentration must be phenomenal in that respect, because you have to turn it on instantly.
Instantly, yes, yeah. And that's the help from your teammates as well. You know, if they're in the right positions and they, and that instance happens, you know, you can cover that, you know, and it can be reverse vice with the defence as well. You know what I mean? As is, we're part of a unit. We're not just one person.
Well,
you know?
that's the thing that, again, I'm sure you saw, Daniel, when you were making the film as well. That was the thing that comes across. Not only were you not just one individual, but you weren't just a member of the men's team. The men's team were as much a part of what the women's team were doing as the women's players were themselves, and vice versa. It very much was, both teams were one big unit. That must have been phenomenal to watch in front of your eyes.
Yeah, but even beyond that, the whole tournament was one big unit. And I think that's one of the special things about this the Homeless World Cup, is that even though it's really competitive and everyone's worked really hard to get there and they all want to win, everybody is there kind of as one community. And there's a real spirit of inclusivity that all the players are looking out for each other, even if they're, you know, competing to go to the next stage. And it's all about recognizing that they're all together.
Yeah, that again, you see that even, you know, even in team, there didn't seem to be any argy-bargy. You know, it's a five-a-side game that you're playing, isn't it? You know, so maybe there's less room for argy-bargy, I don't know. But there didn't seem to, you know, or maybe Daniel avoided, but there didn't seem to be much, you know, fighting your cheek back to referees or dirty fouling or get fellas taking or women taking dives. There was none of that going on. Great game, sportsmanship.
Because the game is played at speed. And when it comes speed, has to come skill. And when you manage the both of them, it just looks a lot better when you can manage the both of them together, you know.
It's another thing. I wondered from the point of view of you as the filmmaker, Daniel, how difficult was that? Because, you know, if you were shooting a fictional film with football in it, you'd have loads of setups, you'd have half a dozen cameras, and you'd say, no, we'll retake that now from behind Phillip's shoulder so that we can see the ball coming in towards the goalkeeper, and you'd have players who could reproduce the same kick time and time again. Yeah. How difficult was it to actually capture the excitement of the five-a-side football? It was fast.
I was running just as much as the players in most cases, going from just side to side, just trying not to miss anything. And one of the keys to this was, you know, I was pretty much a one-man crew out there, and my whole thing was just being everywhere and nowhere. You know what I mean? I didn't want to get in the way of the players too much, but I couldn't miss anything. Yeah. And it was a lot of, thank God we got access to the live feeds of some of the games, the Homeless World Cup.
So you could do a little bit of editing.
It's a little bit of just different angles, you know, or else it would have been. But there were times, like certain key games, where I just didn't even know we got everything we needed. And then I was in the editing room looking at it and just going, thank God we got that moment, because you just never know.
Yeah. When was the moment, Philip, when you found out you are now the goalkeeper for the Irish team for the World Cup in Oslo in 2017? Do you remember that announcement?
Like it was yesterday. I was actually only in the door from the hospital, and my phone rang, and I seen John, I seen that there's the manager now, and I said, this is it, this is the news, is it good or is it bad? So I sat down on the bed to take a seat, and I'd seen the message, you got in, and next minute the phone call saying, congratulations, Philip, you're going to Oslo with Ireland.
But did you have some pal then who was, you know, who you'd been training as a goalkeeper alongside, that you had to kind of say, listen, I'm going, you're not. Yeah. How difficult is that to handle? What's, I mean, it's difficult in any set of team, it's very any team situation.
It's very difficult, even that, you know, you're going somewhere where, you know, some of the boys who worked as just as hard as you, you know, and see their faces, and, you know, you kind of have to kind of say, look, buddy, you'll get your chance. Don't give up.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you have to. Don't give up. And it's all about that, keep trying, get knocked down, get back up again, go again.
But it doesn't matter what sport you're playing. Yeah, it doesn't matter what the team is, you know, or how the team is made up. That's the reality. Yeah. The other thing is we hear from lots of the individual stories. You know, we get parts of people's backstories. We get parts of people's interest in football, how they came to street leagues, all of that. Several of the contributors across both teams, both the men's and women's teams. And we also get the moment when some of the players are thinking about what's it going to be like standing on a football pitch when the Irish national anthem starts to play. And I think that these are, I think it's two of the women from the women's team that, in fact, we're going to hear in this little sequence up towards the playing of the national anthem before their game.
During the national anthem, I just felt this pride and to be able to sing. I was belting it out and I was looking up to heaven, like I was, you know, I was looking up and I was thinking of, you know, like my mother, I was actually singing it like when I was singing away, and it's up there with having my children. And anyway,
no drink or drug that I ever took could touch the high of what I felt standing there representing my country, you know, and it was just something that I never thought I'd be able to do.
At the final voice that you heard there was Christine Gagan. Is that how Christine says her surname? And Tara McNeil was the first voice you heard, both of the members of the women's team that represented Ireland at the Homeless World Cup. And with me in studio this evening is Daniel Holmes, rather, who has made a documentary film about the street leagues, and the goalkeeper for the Irish men's team in Oslo, Philip Doyle. That's an incredible statement that Christine makes about no high compares. Would you agree with what she says there?
Hit the nail on the head. You can't get any higher than that when the national anthem comes on. You have goosebumps all over your body and you can't believe you're standing out, and that national anthem is actually for you. And when you find that gives you such a boost, and everything else with that just disappears.
Yeah,
you have become part of one.
And I guess that's the power that, never mind, yes, of course, that's an incredibly special moment. I've never experienced standing in an Irish jersey with a national anthem playing. But I suppose that's what football can do. Yeah. It can keep you away from, you get such enjoyment from that you're not looking for other things to fill gaps and empty spaces. Mm-hmm.
It disciplines you so well, and soccer does. You know, you're not looking for any high after it. That is the high.
Yeah,
and when you can accept that, you know,
then
you'll accept
then
that.
You're
on a winner for the rest of your life.
When did you know that this was material that would make the powerful documentary that it made for you, Daniel?
Within 20 minutes of the first day, I was shooting. You know, because like I said, at that point, I was just on, we were just trying to get the footage, because I wasn't sure if it was going to go ahead or not. You know, but it was just, this was the scene, the moment where they're at the Mansion House and they're getting greeted by the Lord Mayor, and it was a really kind of big moment before Oslo, and just seeing that, just experiencing that tangible electricity of between everybody there was just, it's hard to describe, you know, but I just knew, seeing the reactions and seeing how proud they all were, that this would be something special and worth pursuing.
Okay, well, the film is called Street Leagues. By the way, the screening, you haven't seen it in full yet. The screening on Saturday the 29th. Will that be your first viewing of it, Phil?
Yeah, that'd be the night of my birthday, yeah.
Oh, your birthday as well?
Birthday,
yeah. Well, then, you must be five now or six since you were born on a leap day.
I think I'm a nine.
You're a nine now, right?
Nine, yeah.
Will your mother be there? Because I know you've been very keen to look after your mother, particularly since
she passed away after.
I'm sorry, I didn't realise that.
After Oslo.
But she knew about Oslo, and she knew about...
I rang her every single night when I was over there to tell her how far we progressed and how well we were doing. And, you know, I just wanted to thank her as well.
Yeah, and you got to tell her, I don't mind giving this away, that you became the goalkeeper of the tournament.
She was ecstatic as well.
I'm sure she was. Well, congratulations on it all, Philip, and on what you're doing with the team and on the contract that you have now in Kildare training others.
Yeah.
I hope you're duly proud of what you've done. Great success to you and everything you do in the future. Also, Daniel Holmes there, the director of Street League. Street Leagues will screen in Cineworld on Saturday the 29th as part of the Dublin International Film Festival. More details of that and everything happening at the festival on diff.ie.